Without any further ado, let's bring forward, in the right way, our leader, our teacher, Imam W. Muhammad. Takbir!
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We thank God. Praise be to God. As we say in Islam, the Quranic Arabic, Assalamu alaikum. And we praise God. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praises for God, the Lord, sustainer of all the worlds. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed a little better than 14 centuries ago in the peninsula called today Saudi Arabia, in the city, the sacred city of Mecca, where we make pilgrimage yearly to visit the simple little house there that stands as a symbol of the one family of humanity, that God created all of us from one parent, Muhammad the Prophet, who was rejected by his city when he declared that God is one and not the many false gods that they had. Mercy from God to all people. God says, we have not sent you except to be a mercy to all the worlds. And we witness that he is God's servant and his messenger. Our creed is La ilaha illallah. There is no deity except the God, the one God. Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of God. We are happy to be again here in Brooklyn and witnessing so much progress that you are making with your leader, Imam Adib Rashid. We're very inspired by what we have seen. Increase work, increase accomplishment, and your effort is strong, your spirit is strong. You make us very happy. We thank you. Achieving for oneself and achieving for one's community. We have in both the Quran and in the Bible, which is older than the Quran, as you know, it came before the Quran. But actually, if we understand it as students of Scripture, the Bible and Quran, one continuous communication from God. It is one continuous communication from God. We have in both the story of the prophet Jonah, peace be upon Jonah, and his predicament is a message to us. I'm going to give it to you as I understand it. Addressing this subject or topic, achieving prosperity for oneself and for one's community. Let me say this before commenting on this story that's in both our holy books. As a student of Scripture, I will say that God has given us a nature to be individual, myself, and a plural consciousness, a consciousness that holds a plural body as well as a singular body. In my physical body, I'm one, but I have a consciousness that will not enable me
to really perform even mentally as one. There's no way for me to think of myself only and not think of others. It's impossible. I have to include in my consciousness, in my awareness, the world that woke me up. And when I became conscious, it was the world that woke me up, not just my mother, or not just the doctor that handled the situation. From my birth, it wasn't a doctor. It was what you call the wet nurse or whatever. It was a woman assisting my mother. Yes, so when we become conscious, we are not as conscious of ourselves as we are conscious of that we are witnessing when our eyes and ears open up. And later, when we begin to hunger, the body needs something, then we start to be conscious of ourselves. So I would say to you, I'm kind of philosophical also. I would say to you that the first consciousness is not a consciousness, awareness of yourself, the one person. It is an awareness of your needs rather than yourself. You become aware of your needs, and you need mama, you need your family, and you need the world that's supporting mama and your family. So actually, God created us to come into an awareness of our self-interest. That's the self-interest that includes not only myself, but those persons close to me and those circumstances supporting our lives. And eventually we come to know that as the whole world. So God created us to be aware of our self-interest as the interest of the whole family of mankind. We should have as our self-interest the interest of the whole family of mankind. Then we are healthy inside. We are at peace. And we are situated to make progress, great progress. Because when you have that sensitivity, that sensitivity and awareness, you don't have to even communicate it to people. They can feel your bond with the best that is in them. The best that is in them will feel the best that is in you. And you'll just feel that bond. We have the experience of meeting people without opening our mouth or without them opening their mouth. We know that it's going to be a good acquaintance and a good relationship if it forms. We just know it before anybody opens their mouth. Yes. So really we shouldn't have an idea of our self as our interest without understanding that the self became aware because of mama and the family and other things made us become aware of ourselves. When we became aware of ourselves, we became aware of ourselves as a member in another whole, a family, a part of another whole, a family. And when we become aware of ourselves as members of our community, and not alone, but our reality is found when we see ourselves as a member in our community, leading our community, supported by our community, having only our community as the situation for us to progress in. And if we don't, we have to go to another community. You have to have a community as a situation for you to even progress, achieve. If you want to achieve and progress, you have to find a community. You have to find a community for that. So for us, it should be our community. So our life and future depend on us doing it with support for our community and having it in our community. We can't have it by ourselves. There's an expression, no man is an island. That's a true expression. No man is an island. Adam, I choose to go to Adam before Jonah. Adam, the story of his creation is very much the same too for the Bible and Quran, the two books, two sacred books. Adam was incomplete when he was made as a natural man like we are in the natural body. He was incomplete. God told the angels who rejected Adam, the mortal man, he said to the angels, He said, wait until I have given him of my own spirit. So he was incomplete. So what is that saying to us, dear people, brothers and sisters, and Muslims and others here who are interested? What is that saying to us? That is saying that really God had not completed the human being's creation when he created the mortal person. He had, waiting for that mortal, his own spirit. When his own spirit comes into that mortal, then that mortal is a whole human being. So we are not even a whole human being without receiving the Spirit of God. When we receive the Spirit of God, we become a whole person, a whole human person. And Adam, he was created, and God had to make for him a mate to complete his moral life. He had to make for him a mate. So even as a mortal, he was not complete without his wife. So God made for him his mate, and then made the circumstances, the possibility for us to be here. It says, and from those two, he spread male and female. He populated the world with many. Both male and female, from the two. So that's my first position, first step that I'm taking in the development of this subject, that we are incomplete when we are thinking of ourselves alone. We're incomplete. For the male, you have to have the female to have complete, to be complete as a person. You have to have the female in your life. She's needed to give your life what you need to become complete, and you need it to give her life what she needs to become complete. You both have something to give each other to make your lives complete. And the Quran says, so that you will find in her comfort, or as some of the translators have translated, tranquility, peace, just a good feeling of being at peace and pleasant, and feeling very pleasant, a pleasant state and a peaceful state, so that you will have tranquility. Yes. And we find that the name for residence, dwellings, residence, come from that word that's in the Quran, tranquility. Tranquility. The word for residence comes from that word. I think the word to be quiet also comes from the same root, to be quiet, so that you have quiet. And we speak of having peace and quiet, huh? The expressions that go together, the two go together, peace and quiet, so that you have tranquility. And the place where we live is from the word sakin. I can't think of it right now in that term, in area. But it means dwellings. It means dwellings. It also means residence, residential area, a residential area. And by them choosing such terms to name their dwellings where they live, or the community where they live, their towns and stores and things, their houses and their towns and stores, that place as a town, just like your town, can be called that same name. Means a place where you exist and find peace and quiet and happiness. Where you rest your soul. That's what it means. Where you rest your soul. So God has created us to have this with our wives, to have this in our homes, this tranquility. We can't have it alone by ourselves. We can only have it by mating with our wives and living with each other in peace and in happiness, respecting each other and living as one. The Buddhists even have that idea that we should live as one. Living as one, living all connected, sharing in the plural body rather than the single body, sharing in the plural body. I was talking to an imam once overseas in the Saudi Arabian Mecca, and he said, Imam Muhammad, you know, Abraham was a community. And he didn't say to me, Muhammad was a community, with his mouth, but we had been talking about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So I know he was trying to suggest to me, he was passing on to me his idea, wanted me to see or believe that Muhammad is not only to be seen as a single person, but Muhammad is to be seen as a community also, as a community. And I had studied the Bible many years before I met this brother imam in Saudi Arabia, and I had seen in the Bible where Adam is also a community. Adam is single, but he's also a community. The whole of the human race is Adam, and the Adam was a single person created by God. But the whole of the human race is Adam. We are Adam. The whole of the human race is also Adam, or we should be, also Abraham, or we should be, if we follow the scriptures, as followers of the scripture, both Bible and Quran, we should be the followers of Abraham, and to be the followers of Abraham, we should be an Abrahamic community. So he is in our life, and we are having his life. His life was passed on to us. When you say you're the child of your father, you're saying that your father's life, his biology, his genes were passed on to you. You're saying that you are carrying him on. And that's what we mean when we say Adam is our father. That's what we mean when we say Father Abraham. We mean that he is living in us. His life is continuing in us. And God wants for us not just the genes, the biology. He wants for us the purpose. He created Adam for a purpose. He missioned Abraham for a purpose. And we should have in our community plan and in our personal lives, we should have the plan for Adam, and we should have the plan for Abraham. And the plan for Adam is big, it's not small. God created Adam, and he said that he had made all his creation for Adam to find pleasure in it, and for him to find utility in it. Make use of it. And the Quran says, God says that he has brought down into your service all that is in the sky. He's made to come down to you, into your service, all that is in the sky and all that is in the earth. And we know that when God says that he made Adam and placed him in the garden, that garden is the whole world. But that whole world first must exist in the soul of the person, in the human soul. So the whole world is in our soul, created to be in our soul. And our soul urges us, pressed upon us, tell us, hey, you haven't done enough yet. You haven't become the person that you should be yet. You are not good enough yet. You are not caring about enough yet. You must include other things in your concern. Those urges are coming out of our soul. Our soul will connect us with other souls. And if you're blessed, you'll be connected with good souls and to realize that God has still kept for us a single soul, though we are individuals. God has kept for us a single soul. You will become aware of yourself as a life sharing in one single soul with all good, innocent people. You touch each other. Yes, you could be distanced away as China is from the United States, and you touch each other, and you can connect that fast. There's no jet, no travel means can take you to your loved one as fast as that soul attractiveness. The attractiveness for the soul, that magnetism, can just bring you instantly together. And right away, this happens in life, just like that. You say, hey, in China, I think my friend Chen Yu is having some problems. Later on, you learn that Chen Yu was thinking of you at that time and was having some problems. This happens. So there is this connection for all of our souls in one soul, though we have separate souls. And for me, this is logical. If we came originally from one origin, one human origin, it had to start growing from somewhere, even if we don't imagine it the way Scripture imagines it. We have an imagination, we can imagine. We are many now, but how life grows and spread? From one, from then two, and it keeps multiplying, increasing. So if we could just use our own common sense, we go back and say, hey, this must have started somewhere from nothing. And then life appeared and it started growing up, and it got bigger and bigger and many, many more and more and more and more and more. The original is the present. The past is also the present. The original is still here. The original is the past and also the present. Yes. The apple seed comes from an apple. You plant it, you produce an apple tree. Then you get an apple, right? The apple you got is the present apple. The apple the seed comes from is the past apple. But they are the same apple, because the seed that came from that apple has reproduced itself in this apple you got. It has reappeared in the apple you're holding. So it is for our first life on this earth. Our first life on this earth is still here. And another proof of it is that when you give up on this life, you will go back into the past. And you will become nothing but a little worm. You will become a little worm. No development. No advancement. No social advancement. You can quickly go back to that first creature. Now, what have I said now? I know it's disturbing what I said, isn't it? What have I said now? But I'm saying that if we depend on our biology for existence, we will lose our lives. We have to depend on the Spirit of God in us for our existence. Then we keep our lives. For the biology can go back to the first day. Before it was even made a man, it was a little worm. A little simple worm. Adam then needed completion. If Adam needed completion then, Adam, the plural body, us, now, we need completion. We can't have the great life we want without being complete. Don't just be a religious person. Be close to God. It's not enough just to say you have faith. Those who really improve their lives and become of more value to human society are those who struggle to get closer and closer to God. To become more aware of God is what we mean. You want to become more and more aware of God. And in the Quran, Allah speaks to us by addressing our natural, simple mind and senses and common senses. God says, if you remember me, I will remember you. If you will remember me, I will remember you. Now, isn't this your nature? God is speaking to your nature. If you got a friend that won't remember you, won't you stop remembering them? You start remembering them. They don't remember you. You always calling them up, wish them happy birthday. They never call you up, wish you happy birthday. You always remember this Mother's Day or Father's Day. They don't remember you. Huh? They stay away a long time. You're separated a long time. You remember them? Call up. Hey, how you doing, child? How you doing, girl? How you doing, man? But they never remember you. Pretty soon, you forget them, don't you? Well, that's what God is trying to tell you. The same sensitivity I gave you for your relationship with each other, I want you to have that for your relationship with me. If you remember me, I will remember you. Now, you know, addressing Adam's meaning for us is deep, because when God created it, he said the spirit was in the deep or something like that. How it goes. Darkness was upon the deep. Darkness was upon the deep. Was upon the deep. And then the spirit moved upon the face of the waters. This is the Bible. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So it starts with depth, deepness, you know. Jonah wasn't so deep. He was already created. He wasn't so deep. In fact, I think he was pretty shallow. He forgot his calling. He forgot his mission. And according to the Bible story, and he ended up being attracted to material things, but still being spiritual, but attracted to material things. He's sleeping on the boat, resting against the cargo. That's the goods. A lot of you all, you do the same thing Jonah's doing. And you're in a big fish too. And you're sleeping, resting on the cargo. What the money buys. What can get you more money. You're resting on that. But you have a calling. See, Jonah is not a single body either. Jonah is a plural body. He represents mankind. He represents all of us. Yes. So this is God is speaking to all of us when he's speaking of Jonah. He's speaking through Jonah to all of us. He's telling us that we all got a calling. Our calling is to serve God. Serve God. And we have a lot of trouble. We have a lot of problems. The world is not always like we want it to be. And then we start to hate the world. And we want to see the world destroyed. Like Jonah did. And sometimes we wonder, what's happening? What's going on? God said he destroyed people like this. And now here they are coming into a new happiness. Like they got a second lease on life. Well, that's up to God. He can give them a second lease on life if he wants to. But you got your mind fixed on what they did in the past. Now here they are shaping up their lives, but you still, your life hasn't changed at all. And they're shaping up their lives. Can't you see it presently now? It doesn't have to be back there in Jonah's day. They're shaping up their lives. They're getting their life in shape for God to say, hey, now you have made the repentance that I accept. Now you have made the repentance that I accept, and I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to bless you more than I've ever blessed you before. But you're still in the old mind. You're still seeing them in their sins, and you're still waiting on them to be punished. And you now questioning even God. You said you destroyed these people. And they're thriving. They're doing better than ever. They have a new lease on life. What's going on here? Well, I ain't going to be a part of it. I'm going to stay on my boat and rest on my cargo. And really, the boat didn't belong to Jonah. So when they discovered him on there, being absent-minded like that, and caring nothing about anything but himself, they threw Jonah off the boat into the waters. And the waters didn't even like Jonah. Isn't that somehow God's creation won't accept you unless you in the shape he wants you in? The waters didn't even like Jonah. The waters raged. And the fish came along and he said, well, hell, I guess this is bait for me. Jonah goes into the belly of the fish. And in there he's all confined. He has no freedom now. He's in big trouble. He remembers his God. He turns to his God. And when he turns to his God, the fish say, hey, I swallowed the wrong thing. This is some bitter stuff I got in my stomach. Set him up on the seashore. Set him out on the seashore. Now here he is, just like a newborn baby. He had to be reborn. He spit out naked on the seashore. And he ain't got nothing to cover him up. And the sun is beaming down on him. And the Quran, God says us in the Quran, and God had mercy on him and caused the little gourd plant to grow up and shade and over him and give him shade. And in the Bible, I like what it says. Jonah says, and that from that state, in that state, wanting to go forward with his life, Jonah says, I have a three-day journey. I have a three-day journey. And that brings me to the main point of this talk, this address. Jonah had to be reconnected to community life and community interests after he had lost his chance by ignoring God's calling. He had to be reconnected. So when he says, I have a three-day journey, he means, Jonah is saying, that I have to get back to the wholeness of myself in community life. He had to get back to the wholeness of himself, to identify in community, to have one interest in community, an interest that provided also for his interest. That's community. Community provides for all of our interests. And we have this in the Quran where it says, God is showing us how we are to keep ourselves united. What is the formula, or what is the guidance for our unity, for us to keep our unity? God says, for everyone, there is a direction. It says a face, but a face means a direction. A direction for your interests, a direction for your aspirations, a direction for your appetites, your hunger, what you want for yourself in the future. God says, for everyone, there's a direction. So turn you all to this place, to this sacred house. Says, and wherever you are, God makes a promise that if we all turn our face, our have as our focus for our life, that house, he says, wherever you are, God will bring you all together. He will do it. That's the condition God asks of us, to get God's help to keep us united. God says, in other words, God is telling us we can't keep ourselves united. But if we will focus all of us on that house for our future, for our life and our future, he says that he will bring us all together in unity. That's what God says. And I repeat what I said earlier, the meaning of that house is the unity of the human family. The unity of the human family. So God is saying to us, if we will all have as our interest, our focus, the whole human family, and seeing ourselves in that family, our individuality, our singleness must be seen in the whole family. The whole family is the context for our life. That's what God wants us to realize. And he says if we do that, he will assure us that we will stay united. I don't think any of us will have a problem with unity, Islamic unity, Muslim unity, if we will accept that. First, that's more important than my nationality. That's more important than my culture. That's more important than my immediate needs in my town and cities. More important than even my life in the United States of America. That's more important than my national life and my purpose here at home in these United States of America. That's more important. That I see my life depending upon the wholeness of life for a human being. Depending on me seeing it in the context of human life, all human life that is good. Not the bad, but the good. All human life that is good. Because that symbol represents life, human life in its innocence. When God first made it pure and innocent, it had not become nationalistic yet. It had not become racist yet. It was human, and just human. It was not black or white yet. It was just human, not Chinese. It was just human. And we know that every child born to us in this world today and any time of the day is born human first. We make them black. We make them white. We make them American. We make them Chinese. We make them communist. We make them capitalist. We make them these things. They're not even born speaking our languages. They learn to speak our languages after coming to us and being under us and hearing us. Then they learn our language. If take my child that's African and put him in China, let him go there when his mother delivers him. He won't speak English. He'll speak Chinese. So he's not born English. He's not born Chinese. He's not born American. He's born human. The first identity is human. And human, given by God to our mother, is innocent. God doesn't give any criminal baby. We don't see any alien coming to us from our mothers, our wives. No, there's no alien. They don't come in speaking another language and snapping at us. That happens later. When we invite them to the set and give them some drugs as well. So that God has given us the answer, and the answer is simple. And some of us are not ready for the simple answer. But that's where we have to start. And then they say you have to be reborn. Doesn't mean only in the spirit. You have to go back to your human innocence. The innocent nature that God gave you first. You have to get to that, back to that innocent nature. And the way to get back to that is to see your life and your welfare tied to the life and welfare of all good people. See your hopes and your future tied to the hopes and future of all good people. And when you do that, oh, you have a rebirth. And they said in Islam, whoever makes house, whoever visits that house, they have a renewal of life. That is for them a renewal of life. Now that doesn't mean if you don't visit that house, if you go to that house and you didn't have nothing on your mind but coming back to America and getting your drug money, or coming back to America and doing your sins, if that's what you went there with and that was all on your mind while you were there, you never made the pilgrimage. In reality, you didn't even make that pilgrimage. So you came back and didn't have a renewal of life, brother. Search yourself. If you really went there in the right spirit, in the right mind, you went there having God first, above all interest, you come back with a new life. You will have a renewal of life when you come back. Even if you don't know what to think or don't know what that symbol means, Allah will fulfill His promise to you. You will come back with a new life. I know because I went there. I went there in 1967. And I was so overwhelmed by just the environment and what I saw there, you know, and the multitudes of people coming from so many different nationalities, so many different cultures, and etc. I was just so overwhelmed by that until I was subdued. I couldn't even really lead myself. I was just there floating. I was going around the Kaaba like those pigeons I saw, you know, like those pigeons. I was circling in the world. All I knew, I was on wings. I was in the air somewhere. And only when I got back home again to reflect that I start to find some sense and some guidance and some purpose for me. And that was a rebirth. That was a rebirth for me. When I got back home and collected my thoughts and started to think again, I was in a new frame of mind and I had a renewed spirit. It was a rebirth for me in 1967. Praise be to Allah. I went with the Muslim Student Association of the United States and Canada, and I only paid $500. That's all the expense it was at that time. It included fare and accommodation. Could you believe that? You better get more than $500 if you want to go next year or this year. Now, I remember reading of an African-American in a book. I forget what that book was titled. But I remember one line that he said that this the whole book was worth it for that one line. He said, this is African-American now, and this is one of our activists. Militants, but not a negative militant. He was a positive thinker. And he says in this book, in this one line, he says, it seems his life was in a mess. He says, it seemed that somewhere behind me, I got separated from my social contract. Your place in community, your obligation to live in community and establish your life in community, it begins with wife and children, family. That's your first responsibility in the social context. That's your first responsibility. But it moves out to your community. Your community is being supported by industrious people. And where does that spirit to be industrious come from? Adam. He created Adam with the spirit to be industrious. He united Adam. He made Adam to engage the material world with his material nature and body. And he did engage it. And in time, from Adam, as the Bible has it in Genesis, came iron workers, industrial people, and they build cities and communities. All came from Adam. So that's part of that social contract. Your obligation to engage the material world and do it in a civilized human way and make it better, make your environment better. And your social contract is also to remember nations and suffering people all around you and include them in your heart. Your heart should be a room big enough to house every needy person on this earth. And our hearts are big enough. Our hearts are big enough to house every needy, suffering person on this earth. So that's part of our social contract, to open up to all of them. Now you say, but I'm not going all over the world. Let me tell you something. When your life becomes whole, brother and sister, you can do more for yourself individually. You can do more for your family. You can do more for your friends and neighbors when your life becomes whole. And becoming whole means see your life not here, but see your life also in the context of the whole life of mankind. That's what the folklore people want. That's what Christ Jesus wanted for us. Peace be upon him. That's what Muhammad, the prophet, wants for us. Peace be upon him. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.